A few years back, History of the Saints began production of 7 seasons of a documentary television series titled History of the Saints. Season 1, Foundations of the Restoration. Season 2, Joseph Smith's Kirtland. Season 3, From Pentecost to Persecution, The Missouri Years. And Season 4, Joseph Smith's Nauvoo. Then 3 more seasons telling the story of Brigham Young and the Saints, beginning with the Nauvoo Exodus in 1846, titled Gathering to the West. Then Building Zion. And finally, The Kingdom Endures. Altogether, over 100 hours of Latter-day Saint pioneer history. For these and all of History of the Saints books and DVD products, visit us at historyofthesaints.org.
Welcome to the History of the Saints podcast. My name is Glenn Rawson, series host. What you are about to listen to is an episode about the documentary history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This episode is one of more than 250 presentations from 1805 and the birth of Joseph Smith the prophet through 1877 and the death of Brigham Young. This series interviews some of the finest scholars of our time and presents the latest in historical research and facts as it relates to early Latter-day Saint history. And it comes from the long-running, highly acclaimed television documentary series, History of the Saints. If you have a desire to learn the history in depth and detail, then this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us.
Unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, unto whom these presents shall come, I wish now, standing as it were, in the very sunset of life and in the fear of God, once and for all to make this public statement, that I have never at any time denied that testimony or any part thereof, which has so long since been published with that book as one of the 3 witnesses. Those who know me best will know that I have always adhered to that testimony, and that no man may be misled or doubt my present views in regard to the same. I do again affirm the truth of all my statements as then made and published. David Whitmer.
Be it known unto all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, unto whom this work shall come, that we, through the grace of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, have seen the plates which contain this record. We beheld and bear record that these things are true, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So testified Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris, the 3 witnesses. This episode of History of the Saints is the story of the witnesses of the Book of Mormon. And with that, we begin in ancient America with that last prophet who sealed up the record unto a future day, Moroni, as he spoke to its future translator, Joseph Smith Jr.
And behold, ye may be privileged that ye may show the plates unto those who shall assist to bring forth this work, and unto 3 shall they be shown by the power of God.
The 3 witnesses then were to be men who had assisted in bringing forth the work of the Book of Mormon.
The 3 witnesses were called, and Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris were announced as 3 witnesses under the Lord's term of witnesses.
In the mouth of 3 witnesses shall these things be established, and the testimony of 3 and this work shall stand as a testimony against the world at the last day.
The Book of Mormon itself promised witnesses in Ether chapter 5 and again in 2 Nephi chapters 11 and 27. Joseph and his brethren recognized these promises. Then in March of 1829, Martin Harris came to visit Joseph in Harmony, Pennsylvania, and asked to see the plates as a proof that Joseph was telling the truth. In response to that, Joseph received a revelation.
In March of 1829, Martin Harris, and knowing from the translation of the Book of Mormon that there were to be witnesses, I went down to Harmony to visit with Joseph there in his clapboard home, a story and a half home there on the Susquehanna. And Section 5 of the Doctrine and Covenants was given, which must have been a real consolation to Martin.
I speak unto you, my servant Joseph, concerning the man that desires the witness. Behold, I say unto him, he exalts himself and does not humble himself sufficiently before me. But if he will bow down before me and humble himself in mighty prayer and faith, in the sincerity of his heart, then will I grant unto him a view of the things which he desires to see.
Significantly, in that same revelation, the Lord says that he would call and ordain these three witnesses. He mentions that their testimony would be sure, and then he adds, and you must wait yet a little longer, for you are not yet ordained. By June of 1829, all three of these men, David, Oliver, and Martin, had been ordained to the holy priesthood and the apostleship. They were indeed special witnesses.
Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, and David Whitmer were the first apostles of this dispensation. Brigham Young.
Peter comes with James and John and ordains Joseph to be an apostle. And then Joseph ordains Oliver and David Whitmer and Martin Harris. And then they were ordained to select 12 more and ordain them. It was done. Heber C. Kimball.
With these promises now of three witnesses, Oliver, David, and Martin became very desirous to be those witnesses.
They would have me inquire of the Lord to know if they might not obtain of him to be these three special witnesses. And finally, they became so very solicitous and teased me so much that at length I complied, and through the Urim and Thummim, I obtained of the Lord for them the following revelation. Joseph Smith.
Section 17 of the Doctrine and Covenants promised that the three witnesses would see more than just the gold plates.
You shall have a view of the plates, and also the breastplate, the sword of Laban, the Urim and Thummim, which were given to the brother of Jared on the mount, when he talked with the Lord face to face, and the miraculous directors, which were given to Lehi while in the wilderness, on the borders of the Red Sea.
It was somewhere around the end of June, in the first part of July, when Joseph sent word for his parents in Palmyra to come down to Fayette. Martin Harris came down with Mother and Father Smith. They arrived at the Whitmer cabin just about sunset and passed the evening reading from the manuscript of the Book of Mormon by firelight.
The next morning, after breakfast was over, we repaired to the sitting room, and after attending the morning service, Joseph approached Martin with a solemnity which thrills through my veins to this day whenever it comes to my recollection. Martin Harris, said he, you have got to humble yourself before your God this day and obtain, if possible, a forgiveness of your sins. And if you will do this, it is his will that you and Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer should look upon the plates. Lucy Mack Smith.
Mother Smith said it was that very day that Joseph, Oliver, David, and Martin went out into the woods to pray.
David tells us that they went out from the house, and they had to have gone east, because he said, we went toward the confluence of two public highways, and one would be the Miller Road and the other was the Onkst Road. They're the only ones that are there. And the Onkst Road lay right to the south of the Whitmers, and then to the east was the Miller Road, but that one was off their property.
According to previous arrangement, I commenced by vocal prayer to our Heavenly Father, and was followed by each of the rest in succession. We did not yet, however, obtain any answer or manifestation of the divine favor in our behalf. We again observed the same order of prayer, each calling on and praying fervently to God in rotation, but with the same result as before. Joseph Smith.
With their second failure, Martin Harris withdrew. and the brethren commenced praying again.
Presently we beheld a light above us in the air of exceeding brightness, and behold, an angel stood before us. In his hands he held the plates which we had been praying for these to have a view of. He turned over the leaves one by one, so that we could see them and discern the engravings thereon distinctly. He addressed himself to David Whitmer, and said, "David, blessed is the Lord, and he that keeps all his commandments." When immediately afterwards we heard a voice from out of the bright light above us, saying, "These plates have been revealed by the power of God, and they have been translated by the power of God. The translation of them which you have seen is correct, and I command you to bear record of what you now see and hear." Joseph Smith.
As had been promised, they saw more than just the gold plates.
A table was set before us, and on it the records were placed, the records of the Nephites, from which the Book of Mormon was translated, the breastplate, the ball of directors, the sword of Laban, and other plates. While we were viewing them, the voice of God spoke out of heaven, saying that the book was true and the translation correct. David Whitmer.
Joseph now went in search of Martin Harris.
In my desperation, I asked the prophet seer to kneel down with me and to pray for me that I might also see the plates, and we did kneel down and pray. Immediately, the angel stood before me and said, "Look," and when I glanced at the angel, I fell. But I stood on my feet and saw the angel turn the leaves of gold, and I said, "It is enough, my Lord and my God." I then heard the voice of God say, "The book is true and translated correctly." Martin Harris.
The testimony given to these men was unique and it was sure.
"I will give them power that they may behold and view these things as they are. And to none else will I grant this power to receive this same testimony among this generation."
Mother Smith said it was around 3 to 4 in the afternoon when the men finally returned to the cabin.
"When Joseph came in, he threw himself down beside me. 'Father, Mother,' said he, 'you do not know how happy I am. The Lord has caused the plates to be shown to 3 more besides me, who have also seen an angel and will have to testify to the truth of what I have said, for they know for themselves that I do not go about to deceive the people, and I do feel as though I was relieved of a dreadful burden, which was almost too much for me to endure. But they will now have to bear a part, and it does rejoice my soul that I am not any longer to be entirely alone in the world.' Martin Harris then came in. He seemed almost overcome with excess of joy. He then testified of what he had seen and heard, as did also the others, Oliver and David, Lucy Mack Smith."
And then, as commanded, the 3 committed their testimony to writing. And since the first publication of the Book of Mormon in 1830, their written testimony has been in every edition since. Take note that their testimony assures not just that they saw the Book of Mormon and the angel, but that the book is true, as witnessed to them by the voice of God Himself.
A few years back, History of the Saints began production of 7 seasons of a documentary television series titled History of the Saints. Season 1, Foundations of the Restoration. Season 2, Joseph Smith's Kirtland. Season 3, From Pentecost to Persecution, The Missouri Years. And Season 4, Joseph Smith's Nauvoo. Then 3 more seasons telling the story of Brigham Young and the Saints, beginning with the Nauvoo Exodus in 1846, titled Gathering to the West. Then Building Zion. And finally, The Kingdom Endures. Altogether, over 100 hours of Latter-day Saint pioneer history. For these and all of History of the Saints books and DVD products, visit us at historyofthesaints.org.
The Book of Mormon alludes to more witnesses than just 3.
"And there is none other which shall view it, save it be a few according to the will of God, to bear testimony of His word unto the children of men."
Mother Smith and Father Smith have returned a cheerful, happy company to their home, and no longer the frame home, because at this time in 1830, they were back in their old log home in Palmyra. And Mother Smith said, "We returned a cheerful, happy company, and soon were followed by Joseph and the Whitmers, who then went out to a spot where we were wont to hold our daily devotionals." And there, Joseph Smith had received the plates anew from Moroni. And Joseph, showed them the plates. There were eight of them. Three of them were Smiths, and five of them were from the Whitmer family. The Whitmer boys were there, David, Christian, Jacob, and Peter. And a member of the family, the son-in-law of Peter Whitmer Sr., is Hiram Page, who had married Catherine Whitmer. And then Father Smith and Hiram Smith and Samuel Smith were called as witnesses, and there had the opportunity of turning the leaves, the plates, and examining the workmanship, and would later commit to writing their testimony as eight witnesses.
Counting Joseph Smith, then, that made an even dozen witnesses to the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon. Their testimony established the work, the Lord said, and fulfilled the ancient law of witnesses. Moreover, their testimony left all mankind with a choice. Accept the words of the book, and blessings would follow. Reject the testimony of the three witnesses, and condemnation would just as surely follow. Now, there is another testimony of the truthfulness of the Book of Mormon.
He has translated the book, even that part which I have commanded him, and as your Lord and your God liveth, it is true.
During the late Kirtland period, 1837-38, the failure of the Kirtland Safety Society, a banking endeavor, caused dissension among the ranks of church leadership. Among those who became disaffected were the three witnesses.
Oliver Cowdery and David Whitmer were already in Missouri at this time, and their attitudes did not change in the clash between their being part of a dissident group, essentially, came to a head in April of 1838, and Oliver was excommunicated on the 12th of April, and David on the 13th of April. That excommunication was a bitter pill for Oliver because it was overdone.
By late 1838, Oliver decides to move back to Kirtland. His brother is there. His name is Lyman Cowdery. He is not a member of the church. And Lyman has taken up the study and practice of law. And this is something Oliver has always had an interest in, or for many years had an interest in. And he saw that as his best option at that point. He's got to support his family. He's got to do something. And Lyman's opening the door for him in Kirtland. So Oliver goes to Kirtland. And by early 1840, he has been admitted to the bar. So his study and practice of law begins.
Now outside of the church and practicing law, Oliver ceased to be a public witness of the Book of Mormon. He was reticent, his colleagues said, to speak of it. He returned to the church and was rebaptized in Canesville, Iowa in 1848. Then March 3rd, 1850, he passed away in Richmond, Missouri. To his testimony of the Book of Mormon, he was true and faithful to the very end.
From the hour when the glorious vision of the Holy Messenger revealed to mortal eyes the hidden prophecies which God had promised his faithful followers should come forth in due time, until the moment when he passed away from earth, he always, without doubt or shadow of turning, affirmed the divinity and truth of the Book of Mormon. Elizabeth Ann Whitmer Cowdery.
Martin Harris also became angry and disaffected in Kirtland, and after his excommunication, he changed churches 8 times, to the often consternation of his changing religious associates. However, Martin continued to maintain a burning witness of the Book of Mormon. He returned to the church in 1870 in Utah. And then just before he died, July 1875, he bore this witness.
"No man ever heard me in any way deny the truth of the Book of Mormon, the administration of the angel that showed me the plates, nor the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints under the administration of Joseph Smith Jr., the prophet whom the Lord raised up for that purpose in these latter days." Martin Harris.
David Whitmer never came back to the church. He was the longest lived and the most interviewed of all of the three witnesses. There were so many, believer and non-believer alike, who wanted to hear his testimony from his own lips.
"I have been visited by thousands of people, believers and non-believers, amongst them a governor of this state, gentlemen and ladies of all degrees and from many nations, sometimes 15 or 20 in a day, all wanting to know if these things are true. I have been surrounded by hostile mobs, on one occasion numbering 400 or 500, demanding I should deny what is published over my name in the Book of Mormon. But the testimony I gave to that mob made them fear and tremble, and I escaped from them." David Whitmer.
One of those who came to visit was Angus M. Cannon, who visited David Whitmer on his deathbed in January of 1888. He described a feeble, sinking old man, 83 years old, as helpless as a child. Yet when he asked for his testimony, a fire came within him. He raised his hand and declared,
"My friend, if God ever uttered a truth, the testimony I now bear is true. I did see the angel of God, and I beheld the glory of the Lord, and he declared the record true." David Whitmer.
Notwithstanding their struggles, and indeed they had them, the 8 witnesses remained as true and faithful to their testimony as did the 3. Their written record remains in the Book of Mormon to this very day for all mankind to measure. When we come back, the Book of Mormon translation is complete. The copyright is secured. The witnesses have seen. What remains? Securing a printer. I'm Glenn Rawson, and we'll see you then.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on what you have listened to, please go to historyofthesaints.org. The History of the Saints team that produced this podcast has also produced numerous books and full-length documentaries on early Latter-day Saint church history and the key figures that made that history. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast of History of the Saints has been produced by Dennis Lyman and Glenn Rawson. History of the Saints is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.